for Bob Enyart Live. Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyart with our Denver Bible Church update. Jeremiah chapter 18 has this parable. Is it called a parable? Yeah, it's an Old Testament parable, the potter and the clay. And we talked about it last night, and I wanted to take it a little further tonight, where God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 18, God, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. So it's a pretty simple, straightforward parable. No big, complicated scenario here. And the vessel, that is the bowl or the vase, whatever the potter was making, the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Okay. And so that's the whole potter and the clay teaching from God in the Old Testament. Then, of course, Paul refers to that in Romans chapter 9. But it seems to me that Christians get it so often exactly backwards. They think the potter and the clay story is God saying, if I want to make you for hell, I'm going to make you, I'm going to create you, and I'm going to create you for hell. I'm going to create you and design you so that you're going to go to hell, and that's it. That's what I want to do because I'm God and you can't tell me otherwise. That's what they think that the potter and the clay story is all about. But that's not the story I just read. The story I just read, God said, hey, check out the potter. And there he was at his wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter so that he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. In other words, he was trying to make this glorious vessel, but he couldn't because the clay was marred. There was nothing wrong with the potter, but the clay was marred, so the potter made it into something else. Other than what he had originally wanted for that vessel, he made it into another vessel, rather than one for honor, one for dishonor. And so then God goes on to interpret this little parable. And the Lord, the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you, Israel, in my hand. And then God says, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, to bless it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey me, then I will repent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and a kingdom to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. So God is saying that I will respond to you depending on how you respond to me. If you obey me, then I will bless you. And if you disobey me, then I will punish you. And so the potter and the clay story is not God saying, ha-ha, I've created these human beings so that they can burn in hell forever because that will glorify me. And that's how I've created them. And so that's the way it's got to be. And these other ones I've created to go to heaven, and that's the way it's got to be. That's not the potter and the clay story. The potter and the clay story is God is trying to build of Israel a glorious vessel for honor, but the clay was marred. The people were marred in his hand, so he built it into something other than he had wanted to build it. He built it into another vessel, and he used them to show his wrath and his vengeance rather than his love and his mercy because of how they responded. That's the story of the potter and the clay. So you get to Romans chapter 9, and Christians get easily confused because they think Romans 9 is about individual salvation. And it's not. It's about nations and groups. And God cut off Israel because they rejected their risen Savior. And then he said, the whole world now, Jew or Gentile, you're all equal. There's no difference, in or out of the body. So, hey, we're out of time. Visit us at Denver Bible Church now. Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. You're welcome to call in and chat about whatever you would like to. I'd love to know who appointed or nominated Gerald E. Lynch as U.S. District Judge in New York, in the Southern District of New York, as a federal judge. I'd like to know who it is, because he's the guy that went easy on a child pornography distributor. I'd just be interested to know whether he was appointed by a Republican president or a Democratic president nominated. All right, so maybe there's someone out there who knows that. We've gone to the Southern District website at uscourts.gov, and we've looked up information about this judge, Gerald E. Lynch, but we can't find out. Can't find out who appointed him, at least not so far. So maybe somebody out there has access to Lexis. Would Lexis give you that information? You know, Lexis and Nexis. Nexis is the online news service, and Lexis is the legal counterpart to that. So maybe somebody could find out Gerard E. Lynch. And we'd like to know whether he was appointed by a Republican or Democratic administration. All right. Now to the news. Let's see here. We've got, oh boy, we've got some good news, some bad news. Good news in Iraq, U.S. forces in Iraq, this according to Fox News, have arrested a couple of suspected Al-Qaeda terrorists. They've been captured. And that's good because, you know, we've captured quite a few bad guys in Iraq. But Al-Qaeda bad guys would be very important. And so the Pentagon hasn't confirmed this yet, but sources in the field have told Fox News that among those rounded up by the 101st Airborne Division near Mosul is at least a couple suspected Al-Qaeda terrorists. They had the names of some who they believed were with Al-Qaeda, and they went out on a successful mission and captured them. So that's good news. All right, what else do we have here? We have Howard Dean. Howard Dean, the Democratic frontrunner for his party's nomination to become a presidential candidate. He would be our nation's second black president. Bill Clinton was the first black president. He'd be the second. For nearly 12 years as governor of Vermont, he never once named a black to his cabinet. Not once. So that'd be funny, right, that George W. Bush has more blacks and Latinos in his cabinet than Howard Dean. And Dean never named an Hispanic person to his cabinet in 12 years as governor. And what's his defense of that? Because to liberals and Democrats, that's the way they calculate. That's the way they make their decisions. They look at skin color, and that's how they decide whether someone is qualified or not, based on skin color. And so if Howard Dean had never appointed anyone of color to his cabinet in 12 years, what, he couldn't find anyone qualified? Would that be his defense? I don't think so. All right. And those of you who are listeners to the show, you know that I'm not a fan of the Republicans. And that also goes of George W. Bush. I'm not a Bush fan. I don't encourage people to vote for George W. Bush. But it is interesting to watch his opposition and how filled with hate that they are toward him. And as we've often said, that the left, the liberals, they hate Bush more than they love the Iraqi people. And so they hope for a disaster in Iraq so Bush doesn't get the credit. And if 25 million or so Iraqis have to live another generation in misery, well, then that's a worthwhile price to pay to get rid of Bush. That's the left, as I can gauge what motivates them. Well, the Drudge Report has a transcript of this weekend's event in New York City. The Democratic website, MoveOn.org, and they had a contest to find the best 30-second TV commercials to use in the campaign against Bush. And Matt Drudge had some folks there at the event who were recording it. I don't believe it was televised, right? No. And so with the recording, Matt Drudge, now at drudgereport.com, has released a partial transcript of what was said at the event from the podium, from the stage. And it's just, it's not surprising because these are leading, you know, MoveOn.org has been supported and used by leading liberals, Democrats. And, well, here, I'll read you part of the transcript, but I'm going to have to bleep out a lot because that's how vulgar these people are. But let's see. Let's start with, and we've got the names of some of the speakers. We've got a few of the speakers here. Margaret Cho. Is that how you pronounce her last name? C-H-O? Margaret Cho said, despite all, she's speaking at this MoveOn.org event at New York's Hammerstein Ballroom this weekend. And she says, despite all of this stupid, and then blank, that the Republican National Committee or whatever blank, which is big blank here, they call them. So she's not even sure what the RNC is called. That they were, let's see, whatever blank they call them, that they were saying that they're all angry about how two of these ads were comparing Bush to Hitler. And then Margaret continued, I mean, out of thousands of submissions, they find two. They're like blank, big blank. They're like blank, looking for Hitler in a haystack. You know, I mean, George Bush is not Hitler. He would be if he, big blank, applied himself. And that got big applause. I mean, he just isn't. So she's saying he's not Hitler because he's not trying hard enough. If he tried harder, he would be. We'll be back with more after this.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. Okay, we have got a few different items here. What does this sound like? What does that sound like? That sounds to me like a 170-page debate. Does God exist? Bob Inyart versus Zaketh. Have you read this yet? Can you hear how weighty it sounds? Doesn't that sound good? And then this. That's our full-color, four-color catalog. You'll love that. You got to get that. And then this here. OK, Could you hear that? Let's do it again. All right, that's our Predestination and Free Will album, about 6 hours of Bible study. What does the Bible say about predestination and free will? It's just such a wonderful thing to feel confident about what the Bible says on that topic. Because that topic has really obsessed men for a couple thousand years now. You know, ever since the Greeks weighed in with their obsession on fate and all. Right? That's when that topic became big, and Christian theologians picked it up from them. So check this album out, Predestination and Free Will. You'll like it. You can call us 800-8-NYART or go online at kgov.com. We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Let's see here. We've got, okay, more of the transcript from the event in New York City this weekend, moveon.org. So Margaret Cho is speaking. And she said, Judge Roy Moore or Judge Jay Moore, whatever, in Alabama, the Ten Commandments guy. She said they should have moved the Ten Commandments to Bush's office. He needs them desperately. Or maybe he needs a new version of the Ten Commandments, George W. Bush's Ten Commandments. And then she lists some, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's country, which got big applause. Thou shalt not kill for oil, which got big applause. They just like to kill babies for choice. Thou shalt not take grammar in vain. Big applause. I mean, whatever big blank here, censoring out the liberal, the left-wing vulgarity, the filthiness. I mean, whatever blank happened to separation of church and state. She's the one trying to put the Ten Commandments in Bush's office. I mean, you can't impose your God on my God. God has many names. God is God. God is Jehovah. God is Allah. God is Buddha. God is Carolyn from last night. God is, I added that. God is Beyonce, she said, and of course everyone laughed, whoever Beyonce is. You know, you cannot impose your God on other people. And George W. Bush is coming out with the weirdest stance on same-sex marriage as well. What he says about it is, well, we're all sinners. And at this Democratic event, this liberal event, Margaret Cho said, so she said, Bush said, we're all sinners. No, we're not. Just because somebody ate an apple one time does not make us all sinners. It's sort of like the Carolyn line from last night, just a little more colorful. And if it was from the tree of knowledge, I think she should have eaten more than one. Of course, more laughter. Possibly even baked a pie. Of course, more laughter. Applause this time. I don't understand the whole same-sex marriage thing. He was quoted by saying, well, you just got to take the... Oh, so she is quoting him saying he doesn't understand the whole same-sex marriage thing. And then she said, you just got to take the speck out of your own eye before, and then the whole rest of it is censored in the most despicable and vulgar statement imaginable. And she did it all in a Southern accent to mock Southerners, which liberals often do, okay, which is acceptable in their circles. All right, then what else? Then there was another speaker from a Chuck D was his name. Chuck D. I guess he's with some group, Public Enemy or something like that. Or he is a public enemy. I don't know. Public Enemy. And he said, the people are tired of blank, referring to Bush, and made then vulgar comments about human waste and sexual behavior and organs all mixed up in just a few quick little statements, just talking about excrement and sex and reproductive organs. And that was about as far as he got, according to this transcript. And, of course, big applause and big applause he got. Then there's Julia Stiles. I don't know who these people are. Are they rocket scientists? I don't know. Julia Stiles said, I was afraid that Bill O'Reilly, she was talking about whether or not she should be a speaker at this event. And she said, I was afraid that Bill O'Reilly would come and with a shotgun come to my front door and shoot me for being unpatriotic. But I decided that fear was silencing me, which is why it's so important that Move On do this ad contest. She is one whacked out woman, huh? And then what else? There was a funny bit in this transcript here by Al Franken. Al Franken is evil. He definitely has a sense of humor. He said that, I'm Al Franken. I'm a last-minute substitution. Former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill was supposed to be the presenter, but unfortunately he was murdered. And I do think that was sort of funny. Okay, and then somebody named Moby. I don't even know what this all is. Who are these? Are names of people? Moby. And his excerpt. I'm not even going to try to relate it to you. It's just mostly bleeped out. Just bleep. That's it. One big blank. That's it. So that's what went on in New York City over the weekend at the Hammerstein Ballroom at the MoveOn.org Awards, where they were identifying which commercials would win. And in fact, the commercial that won the top award as the best commercial that MoveOn.org said their group, their donors, have kicked in $300,000 to air this ad during this campaign season. The ad showed young kids working, like working in a restaurant, washing dishes, vacuuming a hotel room. Young kids working hard, and text came up on the screen, and it said, "Who do you think will pay for Bush's $1 trillion deficit?" And that's really a good ad. That's a good ad. That's a great point. Bush has increased what we would call liberal social spending at a rate that eclipses Bill Clinton's liberal spending on socialism programs and welfare programs, government bureaucracy programs. Bush's spending is far outpaced Clinton's growth in spending by far. Not looking at the war on terror and the military and all, just social spending. So anyway, that's a good point. Who's going to pay for all this? You know, the Democrats, here's how the Democrats do it. And this is only one reason why I'm not a fan of the Republicans. But the Democrats do this. The Democrats say, let's increase taxes and increase spending. So Republicans call them tax and spend, right? The tax and spend political party. Republicans do this. They say, increase spending and borrow the money. Now, which, they're both bad. But which is more destructive and more deceptive? Which? Increase taxes and increase spending. Or increase spending and borrow more? Which is more destructive to the economy? Which is more unjust? Well, the Republican way of running the economy is more unjust because they're right. It's our kids and our grandkids that get saddled with this debt. So if Bush spends hundreds of billions of dollars more, funneling it out to special interest groups to help him get reelected, and because he thinks socialist programs are a good idea. And he's spending hundreds of billions of dollars more than Bill Clinton did in 8 years, than Bill Clinton could get approved. Who has to pay for that? Our kids will pay for that. And it's not right. It's wrong. It's like every kid that's born, if to visualize it, when your child is born, they could put a weight around his neck that's sewn into his skin, maybe put it under his skin and his neck and his shoulders, and it could be the George W. Bush deficit weight, the burden that he has to bear through his life, and make it for, you know, what, 20 pounds maybe, 15 pounds? And sew that under the skin of every kid that's born, and that will give you some indication, because when the government spends out of control, like Republican presidents do more so than Democratic presidents for the last 50 years or so, as a general rule, that's a burden on the people in the country, because we have to pay the bill one way or another. And that creates this huge upward pressure on taxes. And so the Republicans, they get into office and they're against raising taxes, but they increase spending like wild, faster than Democratic presidents do. And so then we have huge deficits like we had with Reagan, whom I love, and Bush, whom I don't. And we have wild deficits with Republican presidents. And so what happens then is the Republicans lose re-election, or they lose the presidency, and a Democrat gets in there, and the Democrat fights to increase taxes, because the government is, not broke, but it's running these huge multi-hundred-billion-dollar annual deficits. And so the Democratic way of doing it, even though it cuts my tongue to say it, is more honest, it's more upfront than the Republican way of increasing social programs by hundreds of billions of dollars, each Republican president, in more than the Democratic presidents before them. And then they pass off the bill for all that to help them get reelected. They make our kids and grandkids pay that bill. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's called stealing. It's just flat out wrong. All right. What else do we have here? We've got now this here. All right. Bill O'Reilly has been upset with this case in New York, and the New York Times did an article on a convicted child pornographer, Jose Paban Cruz is the guy's name. And not that this guy produced the pornography, but that he sent over 8,000 pictures of children being sexually molested to about 3,000 different perverts over the web. Right. And he was young. He was 18 years old when he was caught. And he was luring people to his site by advertising preteen rape and sex, stuff like that. We'll be back right after this. Bob Inyard here. Have you studied the Bible with us through the mail? You can do that by subscribing to our monthly Bible study albums. You could sign up for our monthly Sunday sermons. Every month get the four sermons of the month. Or once a month get a Bible study album. Usually those albums have six tapes. I'm looking at a list of them here. what, there's 25 albums or so, and six tapes. Some have 10 or 12, eight. A couple have four. But they're really fun. At least we think they're fun because it's neat to study the Bible together. And some are topical, like an overview of the Bible, miracles and healing, end times prophecy, predestination and free will. But a lot of them have to do with books of the Bible. And in this live commercial break, what I want to encourage you to consider is studying the Bible with us via a subscription. Of course, you could come on out to Denver Bible Church Sunday morning or Sunday night if you live in the Denver area. But if you live in Denver and you can't make it to our church, you're an important part of your current church, or you live further out, you could subscribe to our monthly services. For $34.95 a month, we have our monthly Bible study album. You get every month, around the middle of the month, you get now the albums just went out, right, this week, and so did the monthly Sunday sermons, the videos, the Best of Bob, everything went out this week. And so you could be receiving one of these, the monthly Bible study album, an entire audio tape album of Bible study through books of the Bible and topics like predestination and free will, healings, miracles, the end times, last days, and then books of the Bible like Genesis and Exodus, the Gospel of John, Revelation. It's so much fun to study the Bible together. And these monthly subscribers are really the foundation of the support that we need to stay on the air. So if you like this show, try studying with us. Give us a call. Sign up 800-8-N-YARDS or go to kgov.com on the web, kgov.com, or 800-836-9278. All right, so Fox News, especially Bill O'Reilly, is upset, and I'm glad he is, with this federal judge, Gerald E. Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H, and the New York Times for their sympathy for this guy who he's been convicted of trafficking in child pornography. And he sent over 8,000 pictures of children, you know, pretty despicable child sex. Some of these kids are toddlers being sexually exploited and assaulted for this kid and for his benefit. And he's advertising on sites with words like preteen, rape, sex. And the New York Times doesn't like the fact that he got a mandatory jail sentence and it's too harsh and he shouldn't get it. And the point that O'Reilly is making is, hey, this destroys kids' lives. And of course it does. And so O'Reilly is upset at this judge, Gerald E. Lynch, because he didn't like the fact that he had to give this mandatory sentence. He didn't like that at all, of 10 years. And he would have liked to give a lesser sentence. And so I thought it'd be interesting to find out if Judge Gerald E. Lynch is Republican or Democrat appointed. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? It just would be interesting. And somebody out there might be able to do a bit of a search and call us up on the air even, or email us at kgovlive@aol.com or call us at 1-800-836-9278 and tell us what you could find. But what should happen here? People sexually molest children and they video it. And they use it, obviously, for their own benefit, but that destroys the lives of these kids. And the ACLU, now what's the ACLU's position on this? Does anybody know? We have it in a video. Bob, what's the video called? Bob Debates, an ACLU leader. That's a good video. A debate that aired on a public TV station here in Denver. And it was, I was up against the guy who was the Colorado director, the director of the Colorado ACLU. His name was Jim Joy, the executive director. And he and I were debating this issue, and he resisted for a while, but then he admitted that, yes, you know, he's trying to be deceptive, but he admitted, I tried to continue to press him until he answered truthfully, and that, yes, the ACLU does defend your right to distribute, to sell, to purchase child pornography. They think that should be your right. When, of course, every time a child is raped and every time another video of that is produced and sold, that that's an additional crime against that child. But that's how wicked and broken the ACLU is, that they can maintain a position that the distribution of child pornography should be legal. Now, you get that? I'm not saying more than that. That's what I'm saying. That their position is that the distribution, the sale, distribution, purchase, trafficking in, commerce in child pornography should be legal. That's their position. Now, that makes them conspirators. They're conspirators. They're guilty of accessory, of conspiracy for child pornography. It's like if they argued that it should be legal to commit murder or kill someone in the government. If the ACLU argued that, then they become accessories, conspirators, when people act on what they're arguing should be allowed. And so here, the ACLU says that the distribution of child pornography and the sale of child pornography should be legal. And the media generally treats the ACLU with the utmost of respect. Just that should be enough to have them prosecuted as criminals. Just that. Just that. It'd be like in Nazi Germany, some group arguing that it should be legal to kill Jews. And they say, well, that's our free speech right. No, it's not. You're an accessory to murder. And so the ACLU argues it should be legal to distribute and to sell child pornography, and they are respected? They're respected by the media? It's just despicable. And they're not punished for it? Of course they're not punished for it, right? Who could even think it? Well, we conservative Christians could think it. But who else outside of our circle could think it? Could think clearly enough and have enough courage to say that you should not be able to conspire to give aid and comfort to child pornographers without paying the price. And the price is that's a crime. And you should be charged and prosecuted. All right, what else do we have going on here? In Atlanta, the homosexuals are up in arms. Six members of Atlanta's, this is from the Atlanta Urinal and Constipation. What's the name of that newspaper? The Atlanta Journal and Constitution. Six members of Atlanta's Human Relations Commission said Monday that they believe that this one particular golf club has violated a city ordinance by not extending spousal benefits to the partners of homosexual members. Now, you got that? Here's a golf club. And I don't know to the extent that the golf club is tied in with the local government. I don't know the answer to that. Sometimes golf clubs have special agreements with, you know, sometimes they're totally private, sometimes they're quasi-public. But there was a hearing on this, and the Atlanta Well, the Atlantis Human Relations Commission said that they had a hearing, and they said that this Druid Hills Golf Club does not deny that they treat married couples and couples that have a domestic relationship differently. In other words, the golf club does not give membership privileges to the partners of homosexuals. And I would imagine, though I don't know, but I would hope that they don't give privileges to the live-in, a live-in girlfriend. I would hope not, but maybe they do, but they shouldn't. Because our society should discourage fornication, and we should remind women that it's a shame and embarrassment for them to live with a guy without being married. And so all of society should help women to defend their honor. But that's not what happens. The exact opposite has happened. And now women are as shameful and dishonorable and as vulgar as men, for the most part. You know, when you break, women are by nature more dignified than men are. And so when the rules break in society, the women really fall. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So women are by nature more honorable and discreet. And so when society has conditioned women to be tramps, the average girl that goes to a public school, that's what she's conditioned to be, this is what happens. They become incredibly vulgar. So now we'll find out what's happening in Atlanta with this Druid Hills Golf Club. So for a while it was that governments were saying we're going to give benefits to homosexual partners. Then they began saying that we're not going to do business with companies that don't give benefits to homosexual partners. And then pretty soon governments will say, if you operate even a totally private business within our jurisdiction, we're going to fine you or close you down if you don't give benefits to homosexual partners. And what's going on is something that's been predictable from the beginning, and that is that Christianity and homosexuality are mutually exclusive. You can't have both accepted publicly. And that's why liberals are so aggressively pro-homosexual. It's not because Bill Clinton likes hanging out with homos. You think he does? No. Bill Clinton does not like hanging out with homos. But there's an understanding that to the extent that a community, a culture, accepts homosexuality, to that extent they reject God. Bob Enyard here with a live commercial break. So our subscriptions, I told you about those in the last break. And the way to get it and try it out, and again, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee on everything we offer. We want to make sure that you enjoy it, appreciate it, like it. And if you don't, we don't want to keep your money. That's not the way we operate here. But in order to subscribe to the monthly Bible study album, that's $34.95 a month, or the monthly videos, to get one of our videos every month, is $24.95 a month, and these include shipping and handling. Or the monthly Sunday sermons, $24.95 a month, is to call us at 800-8-NYART, and we could sign you up over the phone, or you could go online to kgov.com, kgov.com. Now, we use probably the largest online store in the entire world to run our store. And there is one drawback about the store. If you sign up for a subscription online for the first month, and only the first month, the way the store operates, you get charged shipping and handling. I think it's $5.50. But to avoid that, you just call us up. So either you could sign up online for a monthly subscription or give us a call. Online, you go to kgov.com. And if you get a few other things while you're there subscribing, then the basically the other items you purchase will absorb that shipping and handling fee. But the monthly subscriptions are really the thing that keeps us going at Bob and Yurt Live. That's the basis, the foundation for our ongoing budget. And if you enjoy the show, you'd like to stick around for a while, then please consider signing up. One-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Boy, I wonder what's going on with Howard Dean and his wife. Now, he said that she's going to be mostly uninvolved in his political campaign. But she seems to be uninvolved in his life. Like, he does family-oriented campaign events. She's not there. He went to Hawaii when his brother's remains were found. Remember, his brother was not really a prisoner of war, or MIA, but he was sort of classified in that way. And his remains were found and returned. And this is just a few weeks ago. And he went to Hawaii for a couple months ago. He went to Hawaii for the ceremony receiving his brother's remains and burying them. And his wife wasn't there. Isn't that weird? And his wife and daughters are Jewish, and he campaigned right through Yom Kippur and all. As maybe, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Howard Dean and his wife. But he said she's going to do a campaign commercial for him and might do a couple TV interviews. So maybe she's just peculiar. I don't know. Maybe they have that kind of marriage. I don't know. It's not the kind of marriage I would want. Let's see here. What else? Now, the fact that the wife is not doesn't want to be in the political limelight, I understand that 1,000,000,000%. You got to be slightly mentally ill to want to be in that situation. But not to be involved in, like, more family-oriented things. And your brother, after all these, 30 years, his remains are returned. It just seems weird. Something weird is going on there. What else? New York City Public Schools. What is this? So far this year, they had 17 arrests in four schools with the most violence. 17 arrests of students. And according to national statistics, we have hundreds of thousands of students each year in our public schools that are victims of crime. Obviously, they're not all, crimes of the highest degree, like murder, but, crimes like shakedowns and stealing kids' money, milk money and all. It used to be milk money. Today it's probably $20. So hundreds of thousands of kids a year are the victims of crime at their school. I wonder what percent. Now, we can't know this, but we could on Judgment Day. I wonder what percentage of the kids who are victims of crime at public school are the victims of staff and faculty and administration. That'd be interesting to know. Like, is it 1%? And that's of the kind of crime that our society today considers crime, not the real crimes. All right, what else is going on? In Denver here, there's an effort to outlaw the circus from coming to Denver and displaying elephants and tigers and all. Some 15-year-old high school, a young skull full of mush, as Rush Limbaugh would call her, has basically she's been the organizer behind this effort, a group called Youth Opposed to Animal Acts, and she's collected enough signatures to get a measure on the ballot to outlaw zoos. Not zoos, circus. The zoo is exempted. The zoo is exempted, and the Denver aquarium, what's that called, Ocean Journey, that's exempted. But and the stock show, the annual National Western Stock Show every January. Is that on right now? It's January 13th. That must be going on right now. That's a fun event. Those events are exempted, I'm sure, for political reasons. But so she wants to get the circus banned. So Ringling Brothers Circus is fighting it. They don't like that, of course. And it's just so inane that people worship animals. Now, I don't know this girl from Adam's Off Ox. I don't know her. But I wonder if she is pro-abortion. Think she's pro-choice? All right. We got one in the studio audience who said definitely. I heard it through the soundproof booth. Definitely. Yeah, she's pro-choice, right? The radical animal activists are virtually all pro-choice, pro-abortion. They're against killing unborn pigs, say fetal pigs, but they support killing unborn little boys and girls. And it's that way with people. Like, let me give you another example. Let's say there are people who are, if you're going to look at the demographics of the people who tend to defend Palestinian terrorists, right? You're going to look at that group. The people who are more inclined to blame Israel and to defend the Palestinian terrorist, or even sometimes to utter statements of justification. If you look at those who defend the terrorists, say over against Israel that's trying to stop the terrorist, what if you looked at those and you looked at one other group, you looked at a different slice of Americana? Let's say you looked at those who are against the death penalty. You just, in all of America, you just looked at those who are against the death penalty. And then you, in that group, you look to see what percentage of them tend to defend the terrorists, sort of make the arguments of the terrorists when the topic comes up. And I think you'll find that those who are against the death penalty significantly beyond the proportion of the general population will be apologists for, say, Palestinian terrorist, Hamas or Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, Islamic Jihad, those groups. Do you find in your own observation of people and the way they behave and the way they think, does that connect with you, that observation and surmising that way, that those who are against the death penalty, when you switch them to a different topic, don't talk about the death penalty, just bring up Palestinian terror and the suicide bombers and the Islamic Arab suicide bombers in Israel. You bring that up, and I submit to you that those who are against the death penalty will, beyond what you'd find in the general population, would defend the terrorists. Why is that? If they're against the death penalty, they should be utterly and absolutely against the terrorist and conceive of no reason to defend or be an apologist or repeat their arguments or their demands, because they're against the death penalty for convicted murderers. And the terrorists, they target innocent people, even women and children. That's who they intentionally target. So why would it be? Unless you think I'm wrong. Do you think I'm wrong that those who are against the death penalty would not be more inclined than the general population to defend terrorists? Now, come on, if you're a liberal, you're wrestling with that. You don't like to think of that because you'd rather deceive yourself. But think about it. Why is it? Why is it? Why is it that people who are against the death penalty are so typically for abortion? Why is it? And they even mock Christians. And they say, how could you be pro-life and for the death penalty? How could you be that way? And we say, we believe in protecting the innocent and punishing the guilty. I know that that's never occurred to you as a liberal. I realize that you as a liberal have never considered this radical policy of protecting the innocent and punishing the guilty. We realize it's never crossed your mind. And we also realize that the very notion makes you sick of protecting the innocent and punishing the guilty. But that's the Christian position. That's the Christian position, punishing the guilty and protecting the innocent. So you know a lot about people just from their beliefs on a certain few issues. And it's amazing how you could predict what people believe on so many issues or where they would tend to go. Like this Carolyn was called up, what, 4 or 5 times in the last year? And I said, Carolyn, you hate Jesus Christ. And she said, no, I don't. No, I don't. And I came to that, you know, I'm an intuitive. Some people are more, some people are not quite as intuitive. They're more detail-oriented and more sensory-oriented. I'm more intuitive. You give me a little bit of information, and I come to conclusions quickly. And so she's defending Planned Parenthood and child killers, and she says she's a Christian. And I think I could guess a lot about the views that Carolyn holds. And so she says she's a Christian. Well, she's a Christian if she could create her own version of Jesus Christ. But the Jesus Christ in the Bible, who came as a sacrifice for our sins, that Jesus Christ, what is her thoughts toward that Jesus Christ? To the one who said he came to give his life for us, to die for us, that Jesus Christ she finds distasteful. She doesn't like him. She doesn't like him. But those who kill unborn children, well, she not only likes them, she gives them her money. See, so money and support to those who kill unborn children and disdain for anyone who would say that God punished sin on the cross. Because I don't like that sin idea. I'd rather be able to give money to Planned Parenthood to kill unborn children without worrying about that sin issue. That sin issue, that's flat out. So you Christians, how could you be pro-life and for the death penalty? Don't you realize what a hypocrite that makes you? Don't you see the contradiction that is? Pro-life and you're for the death penalty? You know how stupid that is? That's what we got to put up with. That's what we've put up with on the air here for, what, 12 years. And as a Christian, how long have I been a Christian now? 30 years. Got to put up with that. But liberals have never considered this rather deep concept of protecting the innocent and punishing the guilty. This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.